Welcome back, WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and WNST. We're Baltimore Positive. We are at State Fair in Catonsville, which means I was well-fed, Don will be well-fed, and County Executive Calvin Ball is running out the back door because she's busy. But we have Howard County Executive Calvin Ball. We had a little number thing in the last segment you wanted to clarify, so go ahead.
Yeah, so we're changing the fees in lieu from $72,000 per acre foot of water storage to $175,000.
Wow.
So it's a significant increase, and you know, a lot of developers aren't happy about it, but you know, we got to hold them accountable.
There you go. All right.
Thanks for clarifying. Well,
Nestor, I want to get Kerwin.
Nestor is going to school, and we've had a lot of guests on, done a lot of research talking about Kerwin. So we want to turn to you. Kerwin's going to involve local government. It's going to involve state government. We're talking about a $3.8 billion commitment from a local government perspective. Talk about the importance of Kerwin. And so, first of all, let's tell people, Kerwin is the recommendations of the State Commission to dramatically increase funding for public schools across state
America. This will make our schools better.
Right. So we definitely need significant increases from the state. You know, just if you look at just our capital budget, there was a time when we would get, you know, almost $34 million from the state on capital budget help in a year. Last year, we got our lowest, which was a little over $6 million. Mm. And so as we're having increasing needs, we have a deferred maintenance of over $500 million in Howard County. We've got schools that need to be renovated, need to be built, and we're getting our least amount from the state. And so the state needs to step up, and I appreciate all the efforts of everyone moving forward. And I think that Kerwin has a great deal of potential.
What's the lobby against Kerwin? Wait, why is Hogan so adamantly against? I mean, I live in Baltimore City. All I hear, crime and education, that's our docket. Your transportation, you have other things going on in your place. But education is at the top of everyone, everywhere. It's how I met him. It's how I got here. It's how I fed my, you know, education is the most important thing. It's the biggest line item, you know, that I've learned in all of your budgets, right?
Yes.
And we're still not doing a very good job. Well, I mean, no offense to Howard County, where there is a reputation that they do a good job.
Right.
But overall in this country, just based on the people that are believing the fake news we talked about in the last two segments, and where your mind goes is everything. I can't fathom that you could be a politician and be against this.
Well, talk about popular, the people, though, know? Mr. Exec. As you get around, it was interesting. I just looked at the new Goucher poll, and we're going to reach out
70%
and have Malia on. Yeah, 70-some percent support increasing taxes for education. But when you get around Howard County, do people, and you talk to people all the time, do they understand Kerwin? Do they know what it is? Or is it just something that sort of they've heard on the radio?
So, and I think that if you look at what you both asked, they're related. I think the biggest challenges are most people have no clue what Kerwin is.
Right.
And most folks don't quite understand how the funding formulas work right now. And when you look at like a place like Howard County, in the aggregate, is excellent in schools. If you disaggregate those data, you see students of color, students on free and reduced meals, students with disabilities, students with limited English proficiency. There are some who are falling behind. And so I think one of the biggest critiques that I think the governor and many others would say was, how are we going to pay for this? And how are we going to ensure that even if we did put more money, that those dollars would be used efficiently and effectively to address the issues?
See, I would say as the governor, how are we going to pay for not doing it when we're not doing a good enough job on the whole of creating good citizens?
And Nestor has, and we'll use this again as a request. Nestor has reached out, is reaching out to Governor Hogan and his folks. We'd love to have the governor come on and give the other side, because I find it unsettling when just a week or so ago, I see where the governor is going to use what I'll call dark money of political action committees to fight against Kerwin. And, you know, I think a lot of us believe dark money's the problem in all of elected government.
Define dark money. Now, money that comes from, we don't know where it comes from.
That's a pretty
that's
good
money.
Description.
How about that?
Could you describe it another way?
Is that fair?
Yeah, like we don't know where it comes from, and we don't always know an accounting of where it's going and how it's being used, and so there's not really any fingerprints on it.
And it will be used, if you take, it seems from my perspective, if you take an issue like Kerwin, where the county executive indicates that people really do not know a whole lot about Kerwin, that if you suddenly start to spend a significant amount of money and reach people, whether it's social, TV commercials, whatever, you can suddenly move the needle in public opinion. We had David Hornbeck on Mr. Exec, and he's the CEO of Strong Schools Maryland, and they're doing everything they can to educate people as to why Kerwin matters. But it's
what's
very
the drop
difficult.
Dead date on this? When will this happen or not happen?
So they're probably going to go through this this upcoming session, which is about early January through mid-April, and have those conversations. And I think, you know, to the other side, it's not just a matter of throwing more money at an issue. It's looking at, like I said, the decreases in state funding and the increases in costs to do things. It costs a lot more to educate a child in today's dollars, and having educators not being paid where they can't even afford to live in the counties that they serve is unacceptable.
Having a teacher with a second job is mind-blowing to me,
right,
when I consider how many people I know and love and have had in my life who were teachers, and how many girls I dated and buddies I had and roommates. And I saw the paper. I saw that job was more like my gig, where you get up, you do it all day, and you go to bed.
So I think,
and not just having a second job, but also still putting money out of their own pocket for their kids in the school system.
Yeah, for tissues in the classroom,
right,
or whatever it would be, right?
Right.
You know, I, and again, I think our request for folks who are listening and folks who are sharing Baltimore Positive is, don't take it from us.
Go
There's
do your
plenty
own research.
Been written.
Sure.
There's plenty that's written. There's plenty of information out there. Question both sides. Ask the hard questions.
Right.
But educate yourself. I will tell you that if David Hornbeck were sitting here, he believes this is a once-in-a-generational opportunity. And that if we miss it, students in Maryland will be affected for a generation. Don't take his word for it. Go ahead. Start to research it. Draw your own conclusions. We could talk about Kerwin forever, but let's move to transportation.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody, I know you're, I think maybe even this evening, going to have state visit you. You're going to talk about Howard County's transportation problems.
That's right.
You just got a major grant, I think a $458,000 grant or whatever.
Yep.
Talk about Howard County's transportation issues and what you see happening out there and what we need to do.
So Howard County being pretty much not only kind of in the center of the state, but kind of between the connector between the Baltimore and the D.C. regions, we have about two-thirds of our working populations going out in order to work. And so we have...
Two-thirds of your working residents don't work in Howard County.
Correct.
Okay.
And so we have not only the transportation issues back and forth, but we have the transportation issues within. So some of the things that we've been working on since I got into office was improving the headways. We had some buses that would take, you know, an hour or so. You'd have to wait at the stop. And we've increased, not only we've decreased the time, increased our service hours on Sundays, made it so that it's working a lot more efficient. We still have some work to do, but working a lot more efficient internally, and then we want to do things externally, like, for example, bus rapid transit. That's a great opportunity to connect people from Montgomery County and the D.C. region so that they can be much more efficient. Went to the state. Unfortunately, it's gotten cut. We're hoping that they'll reevaluate those dollars, but those dollars would be an incredible impact for our working population.
Maglev go through you. Does that hit your desk ever?
No.
I mean, I've thought, I live in downtown Baltimore, full disclosure, my condo's been on the market, please buy it. No one walks through it because, you know, I live in the city, and that's part of Baltimore Positive. But I think about Baltimore, the potentiality for Baltimore, what it could be sitting off the highway, and what really Boston to Richmond's going to become in most people's vision, and where the city sits in location to the highway,
right,
as opposed to D.C. that you got to navigate, or Philadelphia you got to navigate, or New York that you don't want to navigate. Baltimore's a place where, like, you get off and you get on very, very quickly. And the notion that we could run a train, and I'm going to Asia, I'm going to Korea, and I'm going to Tokyo in a few weeks, seeing what, and I've been over there, but seeing a 20-minute train from downtown D.C. to Baltimore, what that could mean with a stop in Columbia, Howard County,
right,
that you're 12 minutes from downtown D.C., one stop in Carroll, you know, one stop in PG, whatever it is, but boom, 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 four stops from Baltimore to D.C. on a 28-minute train. You have completely transformed the entire region.
Exactly.
The entire region.
And again, as we talked about before, we are perceived of as a region. So we need to do a much better job on regional transportation, and it takes investment.
Now, you've done, even beyond what we're talking about, bus rapid transit and these other major transportation issues, you've been focused for a long time on making Howard County more accessible to bikes and pedestrians. You see that as a critical part of this puzzle as well, I think.
Yes, I see transportation as multimodal. So you need to have, of course, for the cars, you need to have it for the transit, but also a complete streets model. And so that's why I was very glad in my first budget to put a record amount from any other previous county executive toward complete streets to make it so that we are more bike and walk and pedestrian friendly. You know, frankly, there are some people who still have to get to work back and forth because of the bikes or walking. And it's also a health issue, not just be able to walk on the road, on the pathways, but also take some cars off the road.
That's a very popular younger person. I mean, I live in the city. I hate the bird scooters and the lobby. I just think they're unsafe. I mean, so my civic concern is you're going to get killed on that thing. But all that being said, those lanes, and that's Stephanie Rawlings Blake, I found that that's her legacy in Baltimore, was building those bike lanes. They're cool. They're awesome. We should be doing more of that. But I think as an elected public official, I'm sure it's you're swimming upstream. I mean, we got a governor trying to build a third lane to go across a bridge that he swears will have cars in 2040. And I don't really believe cars are not going to be driving themselves by then. So there's really an ideological vision issue on issues like that, where people don't see a world of bikes when they're 55 and haven't been on one, right?
Yeah, I think, you know, we have similar goals in that we want to improve traffic congestion, help people move around. And I think it's just the pathway to get there. And when you look at the trajectory we're on as far as technology and what people are wanting, I think we need to take a multimodal approach.
Well, we can't have, and I know we're coming up against the county executive's time, we can't have any elected official on, I think, without talking about the public health crisis of our era, and that's opioid addiction. Mm-hmm. My guess is Howard County is not immune from that crisis. And can you educate us as to what's happening with that? How bad is the crisis in Howard County, and what are you doing to address it?
So since 2016, we've had nearly 140 people die from opioid overdose in Howard County. And so, and when we're talking about regional, that's not even accounting for the people who have died who are Howard County residents outside. So we've really tried to work on a holistic approach. We opened in May our first county-owned treatment facility for individuals on the path to recovery, Howard House. We're working on a new residential treatment center. That was one of the biggest gaps in Howard County. We had no residential treatment center. We have a public-private partnership, which is going to be one of the first in the nation with Delphi, where we'll have actual beds. We've been working on our health navigation centers, funding behavioral health navigators to help people locate all of our services, and 24/7 crisis services through grassroots intervention. We're really trying to look at the entire spectrum of addiction and help people. And we also find that addiction oftentimes is co-occurring. So it's not just the addiction issue, it's a mental health issue that's related or some catastrophic issue. And I think they're doing a lot of good research in Baltimore City on the relationship between trauma and mental health or addiction. So I think we're trying in Howard County to be that model of help and helping people who oftentimes suffer in silence realize they're not alone and that there can be a better day.
Well, you know what's interesting? I think folks, and Nestor alluded to it in an earlier segment, I think when folks think of Howard County, they almost think of it as Lake Wobegon, right? Everybody's above average. Everything's perfect. The sun's out every
day. I always thought that.
And yet Howard County has many of the same similar challenges. I was surprised when I did the research, because we talked about it all of the time in Baltimore County. You've got an increasingly aging population in Howard County that you have to address as well. Talk a little bit about that issue and the how that population is increasing and what you're focusing on.
So oftentimes we're known for our school system, but our school student population is growing, you know, 1-3%. Our aging population, 4-5 times that.
Amazing.
And so we are graying.
They love
very
it. They never leave Howard County. They live longer, right?
That's
they love it.
It's right? a good place right? to live.
This becomes your problem.
Right. So what are we doing?
So we're working on our 50 plus centers. We actually have a lot of investments that we're making. We're working toward becoming an age friendly county. And so that's
so what does that mean? Tell people. It sounds great. Tell people what that means.
Now that I'm getting older, I want to know.
So that means when you think about, you know, whether it's being more connected, being more active, being connected to services, when we look at our transportation, one group that we work with, a nonprofit, Neighbor Ride, and so they help give rides to older adults, making sure that as we have not only a graying population, but a graying diverse population, where many people are first generation. So connecting them with people who, you know, and our top fastest growing populations that are not American born are Indian, Korean, Chinese, Pakistan. So having their cultural connections in Howard County so that as they age, they're connected and they feel, you know, a sense of community.
So much going on. Good things in Howard County. Before we let you get away, Nestor always says this is where we ask you what kind of tree you would like to be. But you guys who are in charge work so hard. What does Calvin Ball do to kick back and relax? What do you do when you have some free time just to say, give me time to recharge my batteries? What do you like to do?
Free time. With
I know. I know.
No, I spend it with my family. You know, I've got two daughters, and they are just my joys, and they are the funniest, wittiest, most amazing people I've ever known in my life. And so,
because you created them.
I give that all to my wife.
That's right. Always give that away.
In spite of me.
Are you a sports fan?
Yeah, you know, definitely.
See,
always.
See, that worries,
you know,
me, Howard County, that they're Redskin fans down there.
Well, I mean, we're split.
I don't have an issue.
Split.
But
he's not going to
tell you he likes them both.
Well, I lean a little bit more toward the Ravens.
That's because you're on Baltimore radio.
Well, you know, but I root for both teams except for when they play against each other, and then I'm a Ravens.
You know what?
Fan.
I would say it's okay to root for the Redskins right now because they need help.
They do.
They need a lot of help.
When you need to hit a Sirius XM station just to relax a little bit, what do you put on? What kind of music do you like?
It depends on the day that I've had, but oftentimes I like to listen to, I've got the jazz station, sometimes I'll listen to just news to catch up, because when I'm at events, I don't really know, I have to figure out what's going on so I can be most effective for our residents.
You didn't answer the question. What music do you listen to?
I heard jazz.
I got David Bowie, Hendrix, Zappa, Freddie Mercury.
All of them.
Ravens, Redskins, and all of them.
Exactly.
R-E-S-P-E-C-T behind me.
Nestor, I would say it's been a great visit with Howard County Executive Calvin Ball. Howard County's in good shape. I think we learned a lot. And thank you very much. Hope you'll come back.
Thank you.
It's nice to meet you, man.
Very good to see you.
I tell you what, this Baltimore Positive thing's been a good idea, man. Chicken and waffles, hanging out with County
Smart
executives.
People.
And here we go. We are Baltimore Positive, WNST Towson, Baltimore. We're back next week. We'll be at, Jennings and Fadley's next week. Back for more on WNST Towson, Baltimore, and WNST.net.